First of all, let me thank you all very much for everything that you have done. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, and that's what I'm going to base my, really, my testimony before you all tonight. It is the Word of God. I do not want to exalt man in any way. I want to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I do would lift the Word of God to you tonight. And I do praise and thank God for His Word. And right through my testimony, I will be bringing to you the power of God, and through His Word. We read in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire?" Like as a fire. Of course, we know a fire, when it starts, it spreads. And this is what the Word of God is like, unto a fire. It spreads to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We think of the early church, how the Word of God spread. Many were saved and born again. Then we also, as we were, would read this, if we were to read it when you go home, because it's very interesting. We see how the fire it purifies. And it's speaking here of the true prophets of God and the false prophets of God. And then we also look at his likened onto a hammer. We all know what a hammer is. A breaketh the rock in pieces. Get a big hammer and it breaks the rock in pieces. There's all types of hammers now. Mechanical hammers. They don't be long of breaking those big rocks in pieces. And just like the Word of God, it is the hammer that breaketh our stony hearts and brings us before God. When we think also of a hammer, we think of the hammer that hammered the nails into the Lord Jesus Christ's hands and His feet. He was, as the Scripture prophesied in the book of Genesis, He would be bruised by Satan. And how that hammer was used. Then we also would look at in Psalm 119, the 105th verse, it says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light onto my path." Of course, we all know what a lamp is like. We all know what a light is like. It leads. It guides. And as I give my testimony tonight, not only will I be speaking about the hammer that broke my heart in pieces, the Word of God, I will speak about the lamp and the light that shines even through my light. So important to me is the Word of God. The Holy Ghost teaches us we are sinners, convicts us, and brings us to Christ. God uses the preaching of the Word of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on verse 18. And this is the verse I will base my testimony on. Because you'll hear a lot about the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yes, I must start my testimony tonight with the Word of God. Right through to the very last amen. Because how powerful is God's Word. Today it's not been preached in the power that it ought to be preached. It's preached in the power of men many places. But how we need the Holy Ghost to come and to take the Word of God and plant it into the hearts of the unsaved, that the lamp will light and show them the light to their very souls. And for God's people today, not just a message just to please us, but a message to teach us. God's people, we must desire the Word of God. Part of the world today, no young converts haven't got the freedom to read the Word of God. But we praise God that in part of the world today, many are receiving it. Many are reading it. The Holy Ghost is convicting them of their sin, bringing them to the place of repentance where they will forsake all and follow Christ. Oh, how we ought to pray for the power of the Word of God to go forth throughout the whole world. I was born in a place called Lennadurg, which is in Bonbridge, and I went to Milltown Primary School. First school I went to was the old school, not there any longer. It became a mission hall. Then we moved to a new school, and it's only a small school, way out in the country. And actually, Julia here tonight, three or four children went to the same school. Wonderful. Same school. Milltown Primary School. I always said it was a high school because it was built on a hill. And it was just overlooking, and you could see the magnificence of the townland of Clifton the Fifty in the background. Beautiful place it was. I'm sure Julia would agree with me there. I had a great privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. And my father, who son-like father, he was very fond of the old 100th Psalm. And I so love it with all my heart. Not because he loved it, but because the words in it are so powerful and mighty. And as I was brought up to go to Sunday school, I can't remember ever hearing the gospel much at Sunday school, but I did hear it in other meetings, and especially in Lennadurg Old School, that school which I went to at first. And there was a big body pit fire in the middle, and it was so red in the winter time, you would always see it being exploding. And how good it was to see Noel Turkington, and he's still out witnessing for Christ now. And how he had his wife Maida and others gathered round the young children from the area. And how the gospel was taught to us from a young age. I praise God for those days. Now, I'll not leave it there. I'll leave it there at the moment. But I'll bring back again to you the importance of Noel and the rest of the workers bringing the word to the children. I also went to a brethren's Sunday school as well in the afternoons, along with my friends. and how good it is, especially in those days, and it is still going on today. And they would have had gospel missions, Sunday school. They had a real desire to bring the Word of God to the children. And how it never always sticks to you. You always remember the Word of God. And as the years went on, and when I came to, 11 years of age, those days there wasn't too much money about. And you had to work. And I started to work when I was 11 years of age in a draper's shop. And I remember the man was there helping out, and he always told me, a man called Sam Mahood, and he always put all these nice and tight, always telling me to dress nicely and all. It was hard. And I could never forget it. And then it was actually a song later on, 10 years later, or 10 or 15 years later, I saw him on television with a pop group with hair down to here and big boots up to here. It just shows you the difference in them. And in the top of the pops. Then, whenever my brother, he joined the army, and he went across to England, and I got his job in a grocer's shop in Bonbridge, in the middle of Bonbridge. And it was different. And at the age of, 12, 13, I was introduced to gambling. It was okay at the start. I always seemed to win. I had gambling before, and we always seemed to win. I never lost. And whenever I started to work, and whenever the man went and brought all the winnings back again. So one day I did put something on, and I never really knew until lately what this meant. And I remember the name of this horse. It was called the Womba. But it's only lately since I came here I knew what a Womba was. And I can remember him coming back and saying, "Sorry, John, you lost." Oh, I could have cried. I think I probably did cry. Just because I lost. You would have thought I would have had a wee bit of sense there and said, "Oh, this is terrible." But the excitement in it was too much. And I kept on trying and trying, sometimes successful and sometimes not. And you know, that was the start of my life in gambling, because I fell in love with gambling. And all I wanted to do was to receive this excitement. And just let me say, from the very start of it, we have today these lotteries, and we have today all these one-armed bandits, all different gambling machines, these wee things you stroke the number out. We have them flooding, I know, at home. It's a real concern, and I'm sure here is no different. And people have a desire for other people's money, and this is the 10th commandment: "Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's." That's including the money, and that's what gambling is: wanting something that doesn't belong to you, but belongs to your neighbour. Oh, you don't mind if your neighbour hasn't got a loaf in the house, or a bit of butter to put, or anything like that. Oh, it doesn't matter. As long as you have your neighbour's money, it doesn't matter. And that's the way it is today. Oh, of course, you have a big cursed casino here in Hobart. And then they say, "Oh, yes, it's bringing in money. People are making a livelihood out of it. And it's great for the land." But people forget about those men and women who bring their money into that casino and leave it for maybe with nothing. And their families suffer because of it. Well, I could tell you stories about gambling. It is one of the most terrible sins. Just people want it because of excitement. There's a thrill about it. And this is why I started my gambling. And then when I came 15 years of age, I was a big fella then, and we left school and started work in a shoe factory in Bonbridge. And in that shoe factory, I fell in with people, and of course I was taking alcohol when I was about 13 years of age. And then when I started to play rugby, played for Bonbridge Town, and when we were training one night, there was this man, a good friend of mine, and we all played together. He was a good rugby player, and he said to me, "John, will you like to come over to England with me, just for the living and the work?" So excitement was so good to me. So I, of course, I said yes. Just like a prodigal son, I had everything that I wanted at home. And of course, especially the Word of God, and how many people even brought up and would have spoke to me about the Word of God. I remember going up to the town many a night and hearing John Dixon preaching the Word of God. I never understood the words of it. But it was the Word of God, and I took it as the Word of God. And that has never left me. Those people are not free to stand. Oh, sometimes you may call preachers foolish. Oh, that old fool preaching the Word of God. But it's the power of God unto salvation. Even that man and those who preached the Word of God when I was young is a link in the chain. And how God used them. Then whenever we went to England, we went into Manchester first, and then of course I thought we were a bit more exciting, and Manchester wasn't big enough for me, and I thought I would move other places. So while I was over with me, so I broke up and I went my way, and I went and moved over to Liverpool. It was difficult, and I remember I hadn't much money, and I stayed a week with the Dynamites. I know what it's like not to have any food in my belly. And the Dynamites were drinking all the time. Let me say, some of them were some of the nicest men in the country. But they just, for one reason or the other, find themselves in that position. That's why I never look down on the down and out. For you don't know, maybe a mighty preacher, the Word of God, just like Pastor William Mullen was, he was a down and out. The Lord saved him and used him. Then I fell in with this other fella, he's from the Republic of Ireland, and we thought we would hit the big times. So we moved to London, and I was going down to London, and my home in London was the Salvation Army Hostel. But wanting excitement, I thought I would get a job, and I went to London University. It was great to go to London University. I used to wash the dishes in it. And then I moved up a wee bit and making coffee and tea and things like that. And then I ended up in the kitchen and then cooking. And then I was asked to, would I like to go into the pub and work. And that's where I ended up. And I had a lot of work in the public houses. But even in the public houses, I remember walking, looking one day,
And as this man came with me, there was an open air meeting. And you know, as always in practice, an open air meeting, you know, we see this often now. And this wee man came up and he said to me, he said, "Son, would you like to come to a gospel mission?" And I says, "Oh yes, maybe." Promised him I would go. I remember taking the wee leaflet. Well, of course I never went. But I always remember that man for just giving me that wee invitation. And I forget him. And whenever I did move on, that place where I worked in was noted as one of the roughest and toughest places in the public houses there was in London. And there were many fights in it, and you had to know exactly what to do. And you had to treat a woman the same way as you would treat a man, even if you were escorting somebody out through the door. Because a woman could very easily have a brick in her handbag, and your reputation wouldn't be very good after that. And the sin there was terrible. And I could see it. And all Andrew, then after a while, there was a holiday relief people came, and he called them with Tommy Dixon. He played football with very famous names, played for West Ham United, and his wife Irene, and of course being interested in football, it was great. And he asked me would I go to work for him. He got a new place in the West End of London, and I says yes, of course I went. This was a different style altogether. There were pop stars, film stars, all sorts of people, gangsters, you name it. Top respectable gangsters, you would call them, and they would have come in. But let me tell you, there might have been a wee bit of difference in their dress and their talk, but there was no difference in the sin. Sin is the same matter where you go. Can't address it. Can't put funds in it. Oh, they try to do it. Try to do it on the television whenever these advertisements for alcohol. And some people would say, "Oh yes, well, it's okay, temperance, just have one wee glass and that's all right." But the idea that is one of the dangerous things that anybody can do. When I say even that's where everybody starts, in the very first place. And you know, it is awful when maybe you see people and they just say it, maybe one, and then to see them maybe later on years, how they may be drunkards. Oh, how they must say no to alcohol. And even anybody asks about gambling, they say no to gambling. We must take a stand against these things and explain to the people the dangers of it. And I must say, there's one wee thing that I did forget. I mustn't forget this. I must say this. I just missed it. When was it? I fell in with people, and there were two Irishmen. There were two men from Northern Ireland, and they came from the Borgside. There were two very nice fellows, good friends of mine. And I remember we had no work, and they hadn't anything to eat, and it was terrible. And we got a job, this man gave us a job, the three of us, in a transport camper. And remember, our first one was to change the car. So there was a nearby chicken factory there. And we got all the chicken necks, chicken chips. And that was one of my jobs, putting on a big bucket on cooking it. But the third dog didn't have it. And I remember the political sergeant, he could have wanted, he desired to pay for them, but I actually desired them. And I still love them to this day. But I thank God for those chicken necks and gibbets. And the Lord provided. I did not want to forget to say that the part. But as time went on and I started to got mixed in with more of the greyhounds in the Lord's day, and the person I was friendly with then, she would go to the church, and I would go and race the greyhounds, passing the greyhounds in the Lord's day morning. And I remember even people coming to me and mentioning the Word of God, and how wonderful it was. I remember going to a club one night, and you had to have a passport to get in. And the password that night was, I'll never forget it, was I'm a dancer on the fiddler, on the fiddler on the roof. I was supposed to be a dancer. I'm glad they didn't ask me to give them the dance from the loser. And I remember going into this place, and there it was, and I had to meet my friends in it. And all you had all of the famous people in the West End. And I remember getting one of these big hot dog things and sausage, and it was so nice, so beautiful. And I started eating it and my friends. And all of a sudden, all I could see was Leonard Derrick. All I could see was Noel Torkington preaching the Word of God as a wee child. And the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. And it was unbelievable. It came from nowhere. But the Word of God came. Tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. How he went to the cross in Calvary. How he shed his precious blood on that cruel tree for a sinner like I. I needed to be saved. I needed to be born again. Those words came into my heart. The Word of God, it was so quick and it was so powerful. I couldn't even stay in that establishment. I thought I was there for a great nice fun. But it wasn't. I had to go and get a taxi and go back home. Conviction was so great. Oh, and Lord didn't save me that night. But then, as time went on, I still had my love for gambling and all the different other things. But then, of course, there was a time when the troubles were at home. And I was getting kind of homesick. I just wanted to be there. And of course, I thought I was going to come home and join the army. And I was going to do all sorts of things. And of course, I did do that. And I came home and it was in the 70s. And I got a job. And I remember going, it was for Shillington's in Portadown, and I remember I was driving a lorry, and this day I was out, and I was taking it off the piping of this woman, and she was a glory now, and she was a wee brother and lady, and how I was there, and I remember it was a real hot day, it must have been 19 degrees. And I was smoking and away there, and of course that lady probably had me all wet up by this young fella. So after it all finished, he said to me, would I like a cup of tea? I said, yes, I'd love a cup of tea. And she brought me in and she gave me tea and wee cups, wee delicate ones, how to get the finger in, and then she had all the biscuits and wee buns, and it was great. And then after that I had my tea and all, she just pushed it to one side. You see, that wee woman, you know, I loved her. She loved me. She looked at me and she loved for this young man. And, you know, she showed love. I could see it. And then she brought the Word of God out and gave me a wee tract. You know, and how wonderful that was. I'll never forget that Word of God. It was the Word of God right through my life. No matter where I was, it wasn't far away. How quick and powerful it is. And then going to another people's and hearing the Word of God. Of course, I know there was a man came to me and he brought the Word of God and he had a cross face on him. He'd always quote the scriptures one after the other. I'd always try to avoid him. because the way he done it, but it was still the Word of God. It was still the Word of God. I still remember it. So it still was quick and powerful. Doesn't matter what way it was spoken, God still spoke to me through His Word. A while ago with Elijah, whenever you preach the Word of God, testimony, testify to someone. Love them first. Then bring the Word of God through love. And how wonderful it is. I pray of God for those with love who spoke to me. And then I remember, time's going quickly, and I remember then, it was the time of the Vanguard meetings, and I was busy in that with a Bill Creative Company. And whenever I had a job to do, and I had to go out and help these two girls and this other woman, so I thought, well, there were two girls next, and I thought this was what would be hard. So I did do work with them there, and I got very friendly with them, and that was all right. They were Quakers, and they used to bring me to the Quaker Hall. And I remember hearing the Word of God preached in the Quaker Hall. And I was an athlete, and I always loved running, and I remember preaching in the great race. And there was actually a woman preaching that afternoon, so I just needn't say too much. But I remember that, and the Lord spoke to me even through that. And as time went on, and the Word of God was always before me. And later on, I married that girl, Frances, and I, whenever she became my wife, a wee bit before myself here, but I remember one night, and it was a Saturday evening, I remember very well, I had a gambling that day, and I had a good win, and I went and I took my winnings, and I was feeling good. And when we came into the house, and Francis's house, it was a tin roof on it, mud walls, and it was built by Dutchmen. And there in that house was King William's soldiers who came across, and it was very old, and there was always a fire there. And you might understand why a fire, and this was in the middle of July, the 19th of July. But for those who come from the Northern Ireland will know that in those houses there was always a fire, and it was very important to our culture. And it was never always warm. We don't have days like this that we had today and yesterday. There were tremendous days. We never have days like this. And I remember. And Francis and I were in a house together, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a mighty way. All the things in the chain were beginning to tighten. The chain was beginning to tighten. One more link. Now you remember the Holy Ghost showing me that I was a sinner. And it came on me so powerful. I forgot about my friends. I forgot about all my worldly things that I'd done. I actually forgot about my gambling. My eyes and my heart brought up this to this with the Word of God. And how I realized that I was a lost sinner. All those people who witnessed to me when I had come by force of the light, I realized I was lost and going to hell. You know, and the Holy Spirit led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the Francis who was sitting beside me. Oh, she pointed and she helped. But it was the Holy Ghost who convicted me, Remember, I wasn't even thinking about God's salvation. I just cried unto the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. With a sincere heart, I cried to God, asked Him to save me. Repented of my sins. And you know the Holy Ghost came. The Lord forgive me. He entered into me. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Christ Jesus. I was born again of the Spirit of God. I threw the cigarettes, I smoked 60 cigarettes a day, and I threw them in to the fire. I haven't had a cigarette since. I've not had a drink since. But what about the gambling that I love so much? Not even a thought. The Lord has took away. He had changed a sinner to a saved sinner. And how wonderful that was. Oh, I was rejoicing. I praise God and I remember. And even the next day telling others, you know, it wasn't saved long until I wanted to serve Him. And this is where the old times came again, and football, and I started to give gospel tracts. I started my own business then, and started to give, that was the 19th of July, 1973. And I started to give gospel tracts. I put them in the windscreens of people's cars. And of course now I would say that is one of the worst things to do, because it doesn't give anybody, some people would be cross when the Commons sign paper on the threat and the thing. So I thought of another idea, that I would go personally to the football. And that was about September, October time when I started to give the gospel tracts out of the football match. That was 40 years ago. Next Saturday, all being well, I will be there giving the gospel tracts out again to the football supporters. My son and others have been doing it while I have been here. And how the Lord blessed me, give me a desire to see the lost saved. He gave me a desire for the missionary work. I became involved in the missionary work of our church. I was in the missionary council 35 years ago. And I'm now the secretary of it now for 24 years. In the mission board. The Lord has blessed. And I was quite happy at home. I done my work for the Lord at home. And I was quite happy. And how wonderful it was. And just to see people all around our area gloriously and wonderfully saved through the preaching of God's word. Oh, this is God's word. That's what we go by. The word of God. I remember many a time taking a stand against alcohol, against gambling, and against evil things. And the Lord blessed me. Yes, maybe alone, and sometimes there may be somebody else. But standing forth for the word of God. And he was there always with me. And even over this last few years, and I thought that my work for the Lord was at home in Northern Ireland. And then I got an invite to go all the way to the Isle of Man. And I thought that was great, 20 minutes in an airplane. And you know, whenever I left the church and I left home, it was so exciting me going over there. And I remember one case, but it was through a lady giving, testifying about the Isle of Man and telling us about the work. And this lady lost a relation. And I'm now going another airplane. It's there, and of course I was doing everything back to front. Got into the wrong seat, and I finally got put into the right seat. But the lady had taken her my right seat beside the window, so I just had to sit beside her, and I was speaking to her. And that lady was the sister of the woman I spoke about the Irish man. Wonderful highs as a reporter for a Sunday newspaper, and how great it was just even to speak. And I think it has been out of meetings over there. The Lord has brought me many places since that, and I got into England and then in Scotland, I was looking after the church there for 6 weeks. And then they asked me to go to Calgary in Canada, and I was there. And then back again to Scotland. And then, as though just over this last 2 years, people would say, look, just because you're getting old, I get the pension next month. And you say, well, it's time for retirement. But you know, it's a new life starts for you when you get old. You maybe work for the Lord in a different capacity. And it was wonderful just to get to these places. And here in the bottom of the world, I was in the bottom of Tasmania yesterday. And even got met a relation of mine, even in there. And how wonderful that is, just to hear. I don't know what my future's going to be. You know, I'm not really worried or caring or very end up. I just go for what the Lord needs and guides. But for those, even in the senior person, you have a very, very important part of God's work is to pray. Praying that the Lord will lead and guide, and praying for those who are looking after the church, for Noel, and for Arthur, and for all the members, and praying for this town of Kingston. We look around and see so many lost. Well, we want to see everyone for Christ. We want to see sinners saved. We want to see God's people being revived. There's always work for you. Even giving the hymn books out and the festival. And our mother even coming around and doing work around the church. And keeping it here as a witness and a testimony for the Word of God and two sides of where the title of the church is. Praying for it. Helping in any way. All in the link of the chain. You know, and how wonderful that was. I remember, just in closing, I just must say this. I remember that I have 3 sons and 6 grandchildren now. And the 3 sons, well, 2 of them made a profession when they were young. And the other one, of course, he didn't. They all said, I don't want to make a profession because he saw so many other people professing Christ. And he wasn't impressed. So he did not. And I remember, well, he lived a life, and many a night I had to get up, Francis and I, but we kept on praying for him. And I remember many a night having to go and get him out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and getting him out of bushes and all sorts of things, and ending up with a car full of. I remember one night, I drove up and the phones and said where they were, and I couldn't see anybody. The next thing I looked, and they came from bushes and everywhere, and the car was packed in. Some of them were broken legs and all sorts. And it shows you. But you have to do it. You do it for the Lord. You know, he's always showing keep love for your family. Keep in love. No matter how deep and sin they are, always love. And I remember my mother, she was on her deathbed, and I remember Francis showing the children, and the boys came in, and then they went out again, and we were all sitting with her, and I remember Francis said her, you know, she says, my mummy said her love, and she says, you know, Francis said to her, well, Samuel's not saved yet. My mother said, the Lord's going to save Samuel. The Lord's going to save him. And I was there. I think it was about maybe 5 hours or something like that. My mother promised to have. After that, of course, Samuel, he got married, and I say, you married Ralph's, your minister's coming here, his sister. And one night he was coming home from the pub. Holy Spirit. You see, he knew the Word of God was Holy Spirit. He knew the Word of God in the church, in the house, everywhere else. People would speak to him.
The Reverend Remember David Stinson, he would have went to the very building site and spoke to him. People were praying for him. One night he's coming home and he had a little bit of drink on him. The Holy Ghost spoke to him. He led him to Christ, just walking on the road. He went down, he got down on his knees, confessed it all. He was a sinner. And then we came back to the house that night. And it was 2 and 3 in the morning, and what a great night of rejoicing that was. And now he's a deacon in the church, and helping me with the gospel of Christ. You know, never give up. Never give up on anyone. But I'm a testimony of it here tonight. And keep on praying. And keep on believing.